All right, Tabasai. Good morning. All right, Tabasai, let's begin. So today's daf is Chof. We're going to begin the Mirat Hashem on the bottom of Yotes Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following. Let's start four lines up from the bottom. My time with Reb Shimon. What's Reb Shimon's logic? Remember, again, the Shita of Reb Shimon is that Halacha Lemaisa, a brother of Reuven dies, and Levi goes, we'll call him actually Shimon, does Yibum with Reuven's wife. And Levi is born afterwards, already after Shimon has done Yibum with Reuven's wife. So Shimon Paskins, that halacha lemaisa, if Shimon dies, Levi has the ability to do Yibum with his wife afterwards. Since at the time that Levi was born, so remember, Reuven's wife was already Shimon's wife. Therefore, according to Shimon, we don't go ahead and view Reuven's wife as Reuven's wife. We view her simply as Shimon's wife. Therefore, again, she has the status of the wife of a contemporary brother for Levi. Levi's able to go ahead and marry or do Yibum with her in the event that Shimon dies. So the Gemara says the following. My time is Reb Shimon. What's Reb Shimon's logic? Kitamar time, ho'ilu ba'amatsa behetar, v'lo amda lav sha'a. Because as we said before in the Gemara, since by the time that Levi was born, Shimon had already done Yibum with Reuven's wife, but when he came into this world, he found her in a state of heter, in a state of permissibility, meaning technically permissibility, meaning because there's a contemporary brother. Therefore, again, he's permitted to do Yibum with her. Elamai time in the Rabbanon. Rather, what's the logic of the Rabbanon? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'lakcha lo li'isha. The Pasuk says he will take her for a wife, v'yibma, and he will do yibum with her, adayin yibumim harishonim aleha. So the halacha is that we see the fact that it says v'yibma is that even after Shimon does yibum with Reuven's wife, she still has the status as a yivama. That yivama identity remains with her even after the Yibum takes place. Therefore, because of that, when Levi is born, even though Levi is born by the time that Shimon is already married to Reuven's wife, or to Reuven's Yivama, at the end of the day, that Yivama identity remains with her. Therefore, she still has the identity of the original wife of a non-contemporary brother vis-a-vis Levi. So the Gemara says, Ela hadis nam, but that which we learned, Kansa, Hari ki ishto l'chol davar, that once you marry a Yivama, once a man does Yibum with a woman, she is like his wife for all things. But Amar Yosi Bar Chanina, Melami Tap of Chav, Melami Shemegar Shebeget, Umachzira. What does it mean that it's like his wife for all matters? It means that Lemaisa, if he chooses to terminate the marriage, he has to divorce her with a get, right? And after he divorces her with a get, he's permitted to remarry her, assuming that she did not marry anyone else in the interim. So you see from there what? That once a Yibum relationship takes place, it morphs into a full-fledged marriage. If it morphs into a full-fledged marriage, then why would the Rabbanon say that the wife, the widow of Reuven, maintains her status as a Yivama even after she marries Shimon? To which the Gemara says, Hasam nami lema v'yibma. Why don't we go ahead and say v'yibma there also, meaning that word teaches us that the Yivama retains her identity as the Yivama even into the Yibum marriage. Adayin yibumim harishonim aleha. Viti by chalitza, and therefore she should require chalitza, Rashi points out, in addition to a get, to which the Gemara answers, shiny hasam the amakra, it's different there because the Pasuk says, v'lakcha lo li'isha, excuse me, because the Pasuk says, Zayibam, he shall take her as a wife, kevan shalakcha na'ases ki ishto l'chol davar. Once he goes ahead and takes her, she becomes like his wife for all matters. Ihachi hachanami. If that's the case, why don't you apply that same concept over here? Kasav Rachmana v'yibma. So excuse me, ihachi kasav, ihachi achanami. So why don't you say the same thing by the Rabbanon? Why don't you say that once Yibum occurs, she no longer has the status of Yivama, but rather has the status of a full-fledged wife? Ha kasav Rachmana v'yibma. Because the Pasuk says v'yibma, and Rabbos, remember, v'yibma teaches us what? That lemaisa, she retains her status as a Yivama even after the Yibum marriage has occurred. Umarois. So how do you know what to apply? So we'll say what comes out essentially is the following. The fundamental tension here is, what is the status of a woman after she does Yibum? So now, man has done Yibum, surviving brother has done Yibum with the widow. So what is her status? Is her, on one hand again, the Torah tells, V'lakcha lo li'isha, he shall take her as a wife, which indicates to us what? That it's a regular marriage. It's a regular marriage. V'harai, the proof to that is, should they choose to dissolve the marriage, how do they have to do that? They have to do with the get. Such as a regular marriage. On the other hand, it says, v'yibma, v'lakcha lo li'isha, v'yibma, indicates to us what? That this relationship has the status of a Yibum relationship, even after Yibum itself occurs, which seems to indicate that the Maaseh has this, not status of a regular marriage, but a Yibum relationship. So which one is it? So essentially the Gemara is going to answer, is it's both. Umarois, mistabra shadi hatera ahatera, vishadi isura aisura. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shadi hatera, lemedrish v'lakha deloti boy chalitza, ahatera, so go ahead and place the heter with heter, meaning apply the vilakcha to the case of ultimately, again, a normative yibum situation. And the normative yibum situation, the Torah teaches us that this morphs into a regular marriage. Vaharaya, the proof to that is what? The proof to that is that should they choose to dissolve the marriage, they'd have to give a get. Vishadi Isura says the midrash veyibma adan yibum maleha aisura hecha di ikatzad iser kima be'eshes achiv shlohaya ba'olamo. And take the word veyibma, which indicates that lemaisa, it still has the status of a yibum relationship, and apply that to the case of iser. When he says iser, what he means is the case of eshes achiv shlohaya ba'olamo. The case of the Levi case that we were just talking about before. So the Maisa, what the Gemara is suggesting, but this is quite interesting, is that the Yibam marriage, we've already known it's a complex one, now it's been further complicated by the fact that it has this dual identity. On one hand, it has the identity of a normative marriage, the Lak Chalo Li'isha. On the other hand, this woman retains identity still as the Yavama, still as the widow of Reuven in certain respects. Reb Shimon, Damar Holov Ba Umatza Beheter V'lo Amda Alav Shaz Be'iser Elamei Ata Chosa Mi'imo Shinasa. Excuse me. So Reb Shimon says, therefore, according to Reb Shimon, who holds that, remember again, Reb Shimon, the Reb Shimon case is very simple. Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven dies. After Reuven dies, Shimon then goes ahead and does, Shibum is married to Leah, Shimon does Yibum with Rachel. After Shimon does Yibum with Rachel, what happens? Mazel Tov, a new brother is born, a brother to Shimon is born. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the fact that when Shimon came into this world, when Levi came into this world, Shimon was already married to Rachel, the widow of Reuven. For Levi purposes, Rachel has no relationship with Reuven. We only view, from Levi's perspective, we only view Rachel as the wife of Shimon, which means that when Shimon dies, then what? He's able to do Yibum or Chalitza with either of his brother's two wives. So according to, and again, remember, fine. So according to Shimon, the Kurdish Shimon says that since when Levi came into this world, so Reuven's widow Rachel was already married to Shimon. Therefore, technically, when we say permitted, we mean permitted in the Yibum context towards Levi. Therefore, Elam Atav, using that logic, Nolad Ach Umeis Tisyavim Hoil Uba Matzas Umatza Beheter. So I'll say, listen to this case. So just very quickly. You have let's keep it like this. Okay, Yaakov. Avram's married to Sarah. No, let's go. Yaakov's married to Leah. Okay, Yaakov's married to Leah. Yaakov and Leah both had previous marriages. Yaakov had a son from a previous marriage. Leah had a daughter from a previous marriage. Okay, totally unrelated to each other. Then Yaakov and Leah come together and they have a son of their own. All right. So now watch this. Yaakov's son from the previous marriage marries Leah from the previous marriage. Totally permitted because they're absolutely unrelated, right? Unrelated, right? So Yaakov's son from the previous marriage marries Leah's daughter, from the previous marriage. Okay, totally unrelated, absolutely fine. Now remember, again, Yaakov and Leah now have a son together from their new marriage. What happens? Yaakov's son dies. So ultimately, what happens in that context? Essentially, we'll say, let's call Yaakov and Leah's son from their second marriage, Reuven. So essentially, from Reuven's perspective, Reuven's half brother married Reuven's half sister. That's essentially what occurred over here. Now, what happens? Reuven's half brother dies. What happens when Reuven's half brother dies? So, technically speaking, Reuven's half sister falls to him in Yibum. So the Gemara says, well, using this logic ultimately of Rabbi Shimon, then perhaps Yibum should occur. Because, after all, again, Rabbi Shimon's whole logic is that as long as by the time you come into this world, so the Yavama is in a permitted relationship, then Yibum should be permitted as well. So, why don't you say Yibum be permitted in this case as well? So, Gemara says, what are you talking about? Iser achos lehechan azal. What do you mean Yibum should be permitted in this? You're looking at the marriage, but you're ignoring the fact that what? That the wife is we'll call him Reuven's half-sister. So we'll say, hi, but according to Rabbi Shimon, in the Levi case, I'm not going to keep on repeating the Levi case, but the Levi case is the Rabbi Shimon case, right? Where Levi is born after the death of Reuven. After, I already said, I'm not going to repeat it, but I'm going to repeat it. Right? Levi is born after the death of Reuven, but already after Shimon went ahead and did Yibum with Reuven's widow. So I, what about, what do you do in that case? Halheichan Azal, hi, Isura, excuse me, hi, but what do you do in the Levi case? You dispense with the non-contemporary brother prohibition, to which the Gemara says, hi isur de les le'atera, hi isur de is le'atera. There's a very simple distinction the Gemara says. In the case of a half-sister, there is no permissible side in that relationship. There is no way to affect a Yibum relationship in a permissible way with a half-sister. On the other hand, this case has a heter. Look at Rashi. Isur achos les le'atera, val isur ishes ach, so we'll say again, therefore, Lemais, what the Gemara is essentially saying is the case of the half sister never gets off the ground. The case of a brother's wife, that ultimately is a case. Normally that's an erva, but that is a case where there is a permitted sad, i.e., yibum. Okay, says the Mishnah. So we'll say, what is, if you remember anything from that Gemara, what is important just to take away, the one piece, we'll see some more halachas, but the one piece is that there is a fundamental tension within the actual Yibum relationship. As to, does Yibum morph in just to into a totally regular marriage? So the answer to that is, yes, in certain respects. But yet, in other respects, so the woman still retains the identity as the Yavama. And that's very important. It's a very yesodistic idea, because we will see that play out a number of different ways throughout the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Klal Amru B'Yavama, they said a klal by the Yavama, Koshi as Koshi Isra Erva Lo Choletzef Lo Misyademes. It will say, if a woman is an Erva, so let's say the widow is an Erva to the Yavam, she does neither Chalitza nor Yibum. Amen. She does neither chalitza nor yibum. We'll say, now this is very interesting. Isser mitzvah. What happens if a woman is prohibited to a man because of a mitzvah? We're going to define in the Gemara what this means. Or isser kiddusha. She is usher to him because of certain elements of kiddusha. What is the halacha? Choletzes v'lom b'syavemes. So we'll say, the case of erva seems to be a case of an Isser da'oraisa. Isser da'oraisa. Now, again, erva is more than just an Isser, not seems to be. Erva is not, it's just an Isser da'oraisa. Whenever you see the word erva, it always means what? It carries with it the penalty of either misa bide based in misa bide adam or kares. So in such a situation, the Gemara says, there's no yibum. And we say there's no yibum means there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. Yet there are these other categories of prohibition, what we call isra mitzvah or isra kiddush, which we'll have to define. In those cases, there's mandated chalitza and no yibum. Achosa shehu yevimta, choletzes omis yavemes. We'll say an interesting case. Look at Rashi. Achosa shel erva kishehi yevama. Shehi yevimta. What's the case over here? Kigon. Shenaflu shtei achayos mishnei achim. We'll say, imagine the following case. Reuven and Shimon are both married to two sisters. And Reuven and Shimon both die. One interesting footnote in this story. Ha'achas asura mishum erva gagon shikalasa o chamosa. We'll say, watch this. So Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, and they both die. Here's the interesting part. So there's Levi. Levi's left to do Yibum. The interesting part over here is what? Is that it happens to me, we'll call the first wife Rachel. Rachel used to be married to Levi's son. They got divorced, right? And then, so essentially, after she got divorced, she married her ex-husband's uncle. She married her, keep it in the family, right? She married her ex-husband's uncle. So we'll say, what's the problem? Now when Reuven and Shimon die, so Reuven's widow is an erva to Levi. Right, Reuven's, because she is his former daughter-in-law. And the status of daughter-in-law remains even after the dissolution of the marriage. So now what happens? You have two women coming from two different marriages. They're two yibamas, not co-wives. They're each wives of separate men. But it happens to be, again, they're sisters, and one of them is an erva too. the Yavam. What's the halacha? Ocholezes omis evemes. Rashi says, Achos ha'erva de la paga ba'achos zikukaso, mishum de'erva lav zikukasohi. So we'll say, so the Mishnah says that the Levi, the surviving brother, is permitted to do yibum or chalitza with the wife of his brother who is not an erva to him. Because we're going to see that lemaisa, again, the existence of the erva wife does not go ahead and preclude chalitza or yibum with the other wife. So the Gemara goes weiter. So that, well, we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. Isra mitzvah. So what, now the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to define our terms. What's an Isra mitzvah? Shnios midivrei sofim. Rabbi said that refers to certain women who are shnios. Shnios means secondary categories of erva, which are rabbinic categories of erva. We'll discuss what those are. So we'll say in those cases, if the woman, if the Yavama is a shnia to the Yavam, so the halacha is what? So the halacha is you do chalitza. Isra kedusha. What's an example of isra kedusha? Kegon amana le kohen gadol. The example would be an amana to a kohen gadol. So we'll say an amana to a kohen gadol, remember again, is lemaisa an isra lav. It's a prohibition. So that's an example of isra kedusha, or grusha vechalitza le kohen hedyot, or a divorcee, or a woman and chalitza to a regular kohen. Kohen's not allowed to marry her. Mamzeres in Nesina Yisrael. If, let's say, the widow of the deceased brother is a mamzeres or a Nesina, so she can't marry the surviving brother. Ubas Yisrael and Asun Mamzer. Okay, so we'll say those are the cases of Kiddusha. Well, again, we'll clarify in all of those cases, those marriages are prohibited by a lav, but technically speaking, the marriages could be binding. So we'll discuss that in greater depth. Says the Gemara, Klal Asuyayma. Now remember, the Mishnah begins by saying, Klal Omru B'Yavama, we said in the Yavama, anything that's an Eser Erva, she does not do Chalitza, nor does she do Yibum. So what does this come to include? Omra from Apapala Suetzaris Islandess. This comes to include the coif of an Islandess. Remember, we spoke about Islandess extensively already. A woman who is absolutely barren. So such a woman like that is not subject to Yibum. So the Gemara, bless you. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that her co-wife is also exempted from Yibum. Uchid Rav Asi, and like Rav Asi's opinion, the Ikadami, others say, Koshi Sura Isra Erva. So others say, no, when the Mishnah says that anything that's an Isra Erva, Hu Da Asira Tsarasa. That's when her co-wife is precluded from Yibum as well. Halo Asira, but if she's not an actual Erva, Halo Asira Isra Erva. Sarasa lo asira, her co-wife is not prohibited. Le me'ute mai, who does this come to exclude? So the Gemara says, Amarafram le me'ute tsaras islandess utulok ravasi. It comes to exclude the co-wife of an islandess who is not excluded from Yibum. So mostly what comes out is a fundamental dispute about the identity of an islandess. Everyone agrees that an islandess is not subject or is totally exempted from the laws of Yibum because she can't bear children. The whole point of Yibum is to bear children. The Shaila is, what's the nature of her co-wife? Is, or I should say, what's her nature? Does that therefore render her like an erva? Or does that not render her like an erva? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, the practical difference will be, what's the status of her co-wife? That's machlokes. Achosa she yivimta. Achosa deman. Whose sister are we talking about? Ilema, the isra mitzvah. If you want to say that the two wives are sisters and the prohibited wife is an isra mitzvah, that can't be why. Kevan de midah oraisa, ramya kame, because since midah oraisa, this yibum should work. Paga ba'achos zikukaso. Therefore, lemaisa what? Therefore, because both women technically are subject in Yibum, the existence of the prohibition of one of them would automatically preclude the other. Ela achosa de isra erva. Rabbosai, what are we talking about over here? It's an interesting case. So Rabbosai, remember, when Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters and they both die, and now both women fall before Levi for Yibum. So we'll say, lemaisa like this, so the Gemara is now suggesting that what the Mishnah meant to say is like this, if one of them is a biblical erva to Levi, then by definition, what's her role in Yibum? If she's an erva to Levi, then what's her role in Yibum? She's not in it. So essentially, she's considered non-existent for the purposes of Yibum, which then allows Levi to what? To do Yibum or Chalitza with the other wife. Okay. Isra mitzvos shnios. So the Mishnah explained that the Isra Mitzvah in Yibum refers to Shnios. So, Amai Karile Isra Mitzvah. So we'll say, remember, Shnios essentially are rabbinically prohibited relationships. Why do we call these an Isra Mitzvah? Essentially, we're saying these are rabbinically prohibited marriages. Why do we call them an Isra Mitzvah? Amar Abaye, because mitzvah lishma devrei chachamim, because it is a mitzvah to listen to the words of the sages. Therefore, again, ultimately, they're called Isra Mitzvah. Okay. Isra Kiddusha. Hamara lekohen gadol, grusha vechalitza la kohen head. The other category of women who can't do yibam, only chalitza, are isra kiddusha, women who are prohibited because of kiddusha. An example: Hamara to lekohen gadol, grusha and chalitza for a regular kohen. Va'amai kralu isra kiddusha. Why do we call them an isra kiddusha? Dechsev kiddoshim yihiyu le'elokeihem, because the pasuk says by the kohanim they shall be holy for their God. So therefore, because the kohuna mandates a heightened level of kiddusha, therefore lemaisa again what these women who kohanim can't marry are called isra kiddusha. Tanya, Rabbi Huda Machlif, Rabbi Huda actually switched around the terms. Isra mitzvah, almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalitza lekohen head yot. So Rabbi Huda said, what's the isra mitzvah? Isra mitzvah means almana to a kohen gadol, and a grusha v'chalitza to a regular kohen. V'amai kralu isra mitzvah. Why do we call those prohibitions an isra mitzvah? D'chsiv, eila ha-mitzvos. Because the Torah, when speaking about the strictures of the kahuna, says eila ha-mitzvos. These are the special mitzvos for the kahuna. Kiddusha, what is the isra kiddusha? Shnios mitivrei sofrim. Those refer to the relationships that are prohibited midrabanon. V'amai kareluhu isra kiddusha. Why do we call them an isra kiddusha? Rabbi call him the kind different chachamim nikra kadosh, because whoever upholds the words of the sages is called a kadosh. It's called holy. So Rav says, you make it sound like if you don't uphold rabbinic law, it's okay, you're not called the Kaddosh, you're not called the Kaddosh, but you're also not called the Rasha. That can't be true. Ela Amar Rava, Rava said, why do we call Divrei Chachamim Kedusha, why do we call them Kedusha? Ela Amar Rava, Kadesh Atzmecha B'motor Lach, because Rav says something very interesting. Well, so remember, what's rabbinic law? Rabbinic law legislates things that are technically speaking biblically permitted. Where is Kiddusha found in life? So Kiddusha is not found when you walk the line between Mutter and Asr. That's not Kiddusha. Kiddusha means the ability to go ahead and exercise restraint even in areas of life that are absolutely permitted. Kiddusha represents the ability to go ahead and realize that I have to take safeguards in order to preserve the Kiddusha, to preserve the sanctity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mandated. That's why the Gemara calls rabbinic law Isra Kiddusha. Ultimately, I will say, very, very important yesod in life. When people try to walk the line between Mutter and Asr, so inevitably you always get into trouble. All real kiddusha is found when a person is able to give up a little bit in order to be able to safeguard their kiddusha. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Amar la kohen gadol, kapasik v'tani. So remember again, the Mishnah said that in Amar to a kohen gadol, which means also the following. Let's say you have a family of kohanim, and big brother Reuven, the kohen, dies. So now what happens? The Yevama falls to Shimon. It just happens to be that last week Shimon was appointed as kohen gadol. So also I say, interestingly enough, Shimon's status of kohen gadol precludes him from marrying a widow. Yet what? His obligation of Yibum seems to demand that. So the Mishnah said he does Chalitza. The Kapasik Vatani we learned, Lo Shnamina Nisov, Lo Shnamina Erisin. Now the Mishnah makes no distinction as to when the widow was widowed. Was she widowed from Nisuin, full-fledged marriage, or was she widowed from Erisin, just the initial stage of marriage? So the Mishnah makes no distinction. Bishlamina Nisuin, Aseh V'lo Saseh. So I understand if she's widowed from the Nisuin. Why? Because if she's widowed from the Nisuin, I will say there are two issues. Number one, she's a widow. Number two, she's not a virgin. She's not a basula because she's had nisun already. Therefore, there's an asay and a lo sase that prohibits him from taking her. The in asay, docha lo sase, vase, and therefore the asay of Yibum will not set aside the asay, the positive commandment, and the lo sase that she's a widow and she's not a virgin. However, ella mina is erusin. But however, if she's widowed from erusin, lo sase greidu. Then if she's widowed from erusin, it's quite possible that what? She's a widow, but she's not what? But she's still what? She's still a basula. So why don't we say in that kind of case over there, Yavo Asay, V'yitcha lo Saseh? Why doesn't the Asay ultimately of Yibum come and set aside the lo Saseh of taking an Amana? Amarav Gidol, Amarav Amakra, because the Pasuk says, V'alsa Yevimto Hashara. The Pasuk says that the Yevama will come up to the gate. This refers ultimately again when she's going to do Chalitza. She'in Tamalamar Yevimto, you didn't have to say the word Yevimto, you could have just said the Isha or V'alsa, she, we know who it's referring to in context. Why does it say Yevinto? Because there is a type of Yevama who only goes up for Chalitza and never goes up for Yibum. Who is that? Ve'ezo Zu. Who is that? Chayve Lavin. That is a woman who is prohibited to the Yavam through a lav. Such a woman, again, is subject to the laws of Yibum, but she can never do Yibum, only Chalitza. So what do you see from here? You see that Lamaisa, that a woman who is prohibited to a lav to her yavam is permitted, is it has to do something, but the something is only what? The something is only chalitza. The ima chavik krisos, maybe the pasuk is referring to chavik krisos. Amakra im lo yach botza ish lakachos. Because the pasuk by chalitza rabose says, if the man does not want to take the woman, ha chafis miyamim, which infers that what? That if he wanted to, he could do yibum. Kola ola li yibum ola le chalitza. The choshein ola li yibum ino ola le chalitza. Rabose, we already established this concept early on in the Masechta. The only time you could do chalitza is when technically speaking, one could do yibum. But if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. I hachi chai ve la ve nami. I said, why don't you say the same thing over here also? That you're not going to go ahead and do. You're not going to go ahead and do chalitza by chayv elavim because you can't do yibum in that case. To which the Gemara says, Ha Rabbi Rachmana Yevimto. Oh, because the pasuk comes to include the case of Yevimto. Well, so remember, the extra word Yevimto comes to teach us that there's a case where a woman goes up for only chalitza and not for yibum. What case is that? The Gemara is suggesting that's chayv elavim. That's a case where there's a lav that prohibits yibum from occurring. In that case, we still do chalitza. Umar is, how do you know to apply to that case? Mistabra chayv elavim tafsi b'kedusha chayv krisos la tafsi b'kedusha. We'll say, oh, listen to this. This is amazing. So the Gemara says, because I'll tell you why. And we'll say, let's say, technically speaking, a Kohen marries an Amana. A Kohen Gadol marries an Amana. Or a Kohen Hedyot marries a Grusha. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Kiddushin works. Then I will say, very important, Yisod, there are certain illegal marriages where the marriage can't get off the ground. Like, for example, any erva, you can't marry your sister, you can't marry your father's wife, you can't marry your mother-in-law, you can't marry your brother's wife in a non-yibum situation. Those are erva situations, which means that even if you try to affect Kiddushin will not work. However, any relationship that is, well, Albany used the word only, prohibited by a lav, it's usur, but if you engage, if you do Kiddushin, the marriage absolutely works. Therefore, the Gemara says over here something fascinating. So therefore, when a woman falls in Yibum to a man, but she is prohibited by a lav, so if she's an Erva, then what? There's nothing. There's no Yibum, there's no Chalit, she's not in the Parsha. But if it's quote-unquote only a lav, then what? There is a connection between those two people. There's what we call a Zeka. Why is there a Zeka? Because technically speaking, marriage could be affected. So because marriage could be affected, albeit an illegal marriage, but it could happen. Therefore, again, there's a Zeka, there's a connection. Therefore, that Zeka must be, now we don't allow for Yibum, because Yibum ultimately would mean you're violating a prohibition, even though there's an Asay. So what do we mandate? We mandate Chalitza. So the Gemara goes, Vaitimasa, Rava is the Kasha, Isra Mitzvah, Isra Kiddusha, Baalau, Chalotz, Niftra, Tzarasa. So listen to this. Rava said, if you have an Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kiddusha, we define those terms already. Woman who is in Isra Mitzvah or Isra Kiddusha, what happens? So we'll say in both the case of Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kiddusha, a man is supposed to do Chalitza, not Yibum. Let's say, however, he had relations with her. Baalah, he had relations with her. Oh, Chalasla, or he did Chalitza. What's the halacha? Niftira Tzarasa. So we'll say, what happens? So Niftira Tzarasa means what? Her co-wife is exempt. Right? Meaning once he did something with this woman, her co-wife is exempt. And if you say that what? That any chayv elavin midarais, you have to do chalitza, the yibum lo ramya, there's no yibum in such a situation. So I don't understand. I understand if he does chalitza with her, that the co-wife is exempted. That makes sense. But if there's no yibum midaraisa with this woman, then lamais, if he had relations with her, why would that exempt the co-wife? So Rava raises the kasha, and Rava answers it. Let's study in katani. You have to read this statement in two parts. Ba'aleha a isra mitzvah. If he had relations with the isra mitzvah, we'll say isra mitzvah is a woman who is asur to the yavam midirabanan. Then what? Or chalatzla a isra kedusha. And the case of chalitza is talking about what? The woman is prohibited for a losase. So we'll say lemaisa. If you went ahead and you had relations with the woman who is the isra mitzvah asur only midirabanan, then what? Then the truth is, technically speaking, that's yibum, and the co-wife is exempted. If, however, again, you went ahead and you had relations with a woman who's an Isra Doraisa, a lav, lemaisa, you have not exempted her co-wife. The co-wife still has to be dealt with as well. So the Gemara says the following, Masiv Rava raises another kasha. Pitsua Daka, I will say the truth is there's a lot. Let me just read to you one quick Rambam. I know I don't have time for this, but let me just read to you one quick Rambam on this, because the Rambam really clarifies this. This is in Perek Vav, Halacha Tes. The Rambam says like this: Haisa hayivama asura al yivama iser lav o iser asay o shahay. Osha Heis, actually, I'm not reading it to you yet. Let's do, no, I just realized, because the truth is, we didn't finish it. Let's actually finish this last piece. Masiv Rav means, what is Ramar Kasha? Petsua Daka, Ukrush Shavcha, Sris Adana. So, also, listen to this. Now we're going to spend actually a significant amount of time on these things later on. So, Petsua Daka is a man with crushed testicles. Krus Shavcha is a man with a severed organ. So, we'll say, in these cases, Sris Adam. These are only if what? These are only if these conditions happened, we'll call it, through human intervention. Well, I don't know if that's the right word, human intervention. Meaning, a person was, not naturally, a person wasn't born this way. Because if a person was born this way, we'll see this separate set of halachos. But assuming this happened to an individual over the course of their lifetimes, the whole chap is these individuals will see, have incredible restrictions onto who they're permitted to marry. We'll discuss. Or vahaz zakein. So we'll say zakein, the common denominator of all these people, of ptsuadaka, krushavcha, and zakein is what? They can't father children. They can't father children. So o choltsin, o miyavmin. They could do chalitz or yibum. What's the case? Ketzad, mesu, filahem, achim, filahem. Let's suppose if any of these men died and they left behind surviving brothers, so what happens? And again, they were married to women. Va'amdu achim va'asu ma'amar benisho sehen, and the surviving brothers did ma'amar with the wife of any of these men. V'nosnu get v'chaltsu, or they went ahead and they gave a get. They did chalitza. We'll see why it brings in get over here. Masha asu asu. What they did is valid. And if they did yibum, they did yibum. In other words, that's a way of saying that if these women were married to a krushavcha, p'tzuadaka, zakein, they die without children, then lemaisa, the surviving brothers have the ability to do yibum or chalitza. However, watch this. Mesu achim va'amduhim. What happens, however, again, if you have, let's say, you have a krushavcha, p'tzuadaka, or zakein, whose brother died, and died without children, left behind the widow, va'asu ma'amar b'nisho sehen, v'nos nuget o shechaltzu, and they did ma'amar, this is the krushavcha p'tzuadaka, or zakein, did ma'amar, or gave a get, or did chalitza, masha asu, what they did is done, v'im ba'alu, and if they did yibum, kanu, then what? Then the marriage is effective. Va'aser lekaiman. Rabbi said, this is amazing. So the marriage is effective. The yibum was effective. But what? We do not allow the woman to go ahead and remain married to the p'tzuadaka, krushavcha, or zakin. Why? Mishum shenamar lo yovo p'tzuadaka b'kal Hashem. Because the pasuk says that p'tzuadaka is not permitted. P'tzuadaka, krushavcha are not permitted to go ahead and marry a Jewish woman. V'isak daitcha chayvei lavin. And if you want to say that lemaisa, if a woman is prohibited to allow to a man, then you could only do chalitza, not do yibum, in ba'alu amaykanu. Why is it that if the psuadaka krushavcha has relations with his brother's widow, that yibum is affected? Ela Amar Rav, so listen to this. Ela Amar Rav, therefore Rav says, Amona min ha'irusin nami asei velo sasei. Nami asei velo sasei. So it's like going all the way back now. Remember how this whole thing started? This whole thing started with the case of the Kohen Gadol and the Amona. And we said it's interesting that the Mishnah did not make a distinction between irusin and nisuin. So Rav says, in reality, even if she was a blessing, even if she's a widow from irusin, there's still an asei and a lo sasei. Dichsiv, kidoshim yihiyu le'lohayam. As the pasuk says, you should be kedoshim. That's what I will say. That's the assay. Mamzeres and usina. So therefore, again, I will say what it comes out to is like this. What it comes out to is the Gemara is saying something fascinating here, which is like this, which is that you could have certain situations where the assay of yibum could be docha alos assay. But what's the problem? I will say this is amazing. The assay of yibum only governs what? Only governs what? The first bia. The first bia. After the first bia, there's no longer an assay of yibum because yibum has already been affected. It's a marriage. What's the problem? If the woman is usher to in a lav to the man, so okay, even if you want to say the assay of yibum is docha the los assay of her particular state or his particular state, that only applies to what? To the first yibum. After the first bia. After the first bia, every subsequent bia will what? will be usher through a lav. And the truth is not just the bia. Every moment of being married to her afterwards is governed by the lav. So it's fascinating here. So remember, asay dochalos asay could get you through the first bia. But after the first bia lamaisa, you're still living in a state of iser, which is why, in cases that are prohibited by a lav, what did Chazal mandate? Chazal mandated chalitza. So let's go back to a little bit, then I want to show you one Rambam in the last 2 minutes we have left. So Gemara says the following. So again, why don't we say that asay do chalos asay? So we'll say, so essentially what happens over here, now we understand that a kohen gadol can't do yibum with his sister-in-law, whether she was widowed from erusin or nisuin. Why? Because again, there's an asay and a los asay that governs his kahuna, and the asay of yibum is not docha the asay and los asay of his kahuna. What about the mamzeres and nesina? What about if she's in mamzeres? So what happens in that case? Why don't we say the asay of yibum is doch the los asay of mamzerus? Because the pasuk says you shall be holy, which means that again, I will say what? That by mamzerus, there's an asay and a los asay. So therefore, the asay of yibum is not doch the asay and los asay of mamzerus. Kol ha-torah kulanami asay v'los asayu. But that's not fair, because v'hiskadashtem v'isem kedoshim is a general statement. So then you should apply that to every single law in the Torah and say that every single prohibition the Torah actually is what? This is the prohibition, the lo sasei, and you're in violation of the asei of being holy. Oh, what are we concerned? That Rav is something very interesting. The fact is, really, if she was widowed from Erusin, the Kohen Gadol should be able to go ahead and what? Should be able to do Yibam with her. Why? Because there's only a Lo Sase that governs the fact that she's an Amana. Because again, if she's from the Erusin, maybe she's still a Basula. And therefore, the Asay of Yibam should be Doch the Lo Sase of Amana. But what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if we allow the Kohen Gadol to do Yibam with his sister-in-law from Erusin, he'll what? He'll come to do Yibam with his sister-in-law from Nisuin. And I both say that everyone agrees can't happen. Why? Because there, by Nisuin, there's an assay and the los assay. And the assay of Yibum can't be doch the assay and the los assay of the kuhuna. So the Gemara says the following. Mamzeres unesina ma'ikel meimar. So why can't we do yibum with a mamzeres? So the Gemara says gzira b'makom mitzvah atu shol b'makom mitzvah. Because we're concerned that if we allow a man to marry a mamzeres over here, in this case of yibum, people may mistakenly think that it's permitted to go out and marry a mamzeres. Even what? Even in a non yibum context. So the Gemara says that's ridiculous. No, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, but that is your open. If you're going to be concerned for something like that, I'll say the following. El me'ata eishes achiv me'aviv lo tisyabim gzirim. So that's, you know, you shouldn't permit yibum, because if you permit yibum with the sister, with the wife of your paternal brother, you may come to what? You may come to permit yibum with the wife of your maternal brother, which of course is usher. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not a concern. Yibum benachla tal rachmana, because yibum is dependent on inheritance. Yibum benachla tal rachmana. Therefore, again, because he will know that Yibum is dependent on inheritance, and inheritance is determined by a paternal link, people know that Yibum only applies to one's paternal brother. So you shouldn't allow a man to do Yibum with a woman who doesn't have children, lest what? Lest he come to do Yibum with a woman who does have children, which would be Nizer Erva. To which the Gemara says, no. Because again, the whole thing of Yibum is dependent on children. People know, maybe made the idea. So you shouldn't allow Yibum to occur with a woman who with a contemporary brother, lest what? Lest you come to do Yibum with the wife of a non-contemporary brother, to which the Gemara says, no, be yeshiva tal rachmana, because the pasuk makes yibum dependent on the coexistence of the brothers. Therefore, made the yediyah, everyone knows. You shouldn't allow yibum to occur with all women, lest you come to do yibum with an islandess. To which the Gemara says, no, lo shchicha. An islandess is an uncommon situation. Mamzeres and nesina nami lo shchicha. So the truth is, again, mamzeres and nesina is also not shchiach. To which the Gemara says, you're right. At the end of the day, Rabosai, the reason why we do not allow yibum with chayvei lavin is the following. Rabosai, here is underlying this line, Ela Amarava, Gezeira, Bia, Rishona, Atu Bia Shnia, to which Rava says, you're right. And Rava says, in these cases of Chayvei Lavin, at the end of the day, could you go ahead and affect Yibum? You could do it. But like we said before, what? Yibum only gets you through the first Bia. Because the first Bia, there's an assay of Yibum, and that assay is Docha, the Losa assay of the Lav, whatever that love may be. But the problem is, After the first bia, it's a regular marriage, as we saw already in the earlier sugya. And what? Every subsequent bia is going to be prohibited by that lav, and there is no assay that is docha that lav. That supports this. In Ba'alu Kanu, if any of these men had relations with this woman, ultimately, again, they affect Yibum. But Bia Rishona, that only applies to the Bia Rishona. And what? Va'asr l'kaimon be'bia shnia. And ultimately, again, they are prohibited to go ahead and uphold this marriage in the Bia Shnia. Am Rav Vitim Rav Ashi, Lav Milsi Da Amri. So then Rava retract what he just said. The Amri Shlakish, Komakom Sha'ata Motsi Ase Velo Sase, Imati Achala Kaim Shnei Mutov, Vim Lav Yavo Ase Vitchalo Sase, Hachanami Efshar Bechalitza Dim Kaim Ase Velo Sase. So we'll say, listen to this. So then Rava retracted his statement. The Rava said, well, no, there's another reason why we don't allow Yibum over here. Why? Because when do we say, Ase docha lo sase? That's when Rava was saying, that's when you don't have a choice. We say, Ase docha lo sase, in a situation where the only way to perform the Ase is to be docha lo sase. But if you could go ahead and fulfill the Ase without violating the lo sase, that's the best. Rava says, so I could do that here. How could I do that over here? Chalitza. I could fulfill the obligation, so to speak, of quote-unquote Yibum without performing Yibum, without violating the Losa. Say how? By the performance of Chalitza. May say the Gemara, but that's not, but what do you do? Vim Ba'alu Kanu. Hi, but what? But Lamaisa, the Braisa said that what? That if the Yavam had relations with this woman who's Asarv to him in a lab, it works. Yibum is affected. Tiyufta. To which ultimately, again, refutes what Rava just said. So we'll say very quickly, in the literally the 1 minute we have left, if anyone needs to leave, please do. So the Gemara says over here, there's the Rambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Yod. Hasa Hayavama Asura al Yavama, Isr Lav, O Isr Ase, O Shahaisa Shnia. If a woman is prohibited to the Yavam, whether it's a biblical prohibition or it's a rabbinic prohibition, Hare Zucholetzes Velo Misyavemes. She's only allowed to do Chalitz and no Yibum. Omitne Matzricha Chalitz, I mean, the Sheish Balikuchin, Hove Kedushin Tovsin, Man Hare Kedush Zukulevim. Why does she require Chalitz? If it's Asr, why does she require Chalitz? Because since it's only in Isr Lav, or it's only in Isr Drabbanan, technically Kiddushin could be affected. Uminadin, Hayashi is Yavmu, Shehayibo Mitzvah Sase, Vichomokum Shatamotzi Sase, Velo Sase, Yavo Sase, Vichalo Sase. So we'll say, technically Yibum should occur. Why? Because the assay of Yibum should be Docha, the Lo Sase of the marriage, but what? Avachachamim Gaz Rushalo is Yavmu, Chayve Lavin, Velo Shneos, Kazir Shema Yavolea Bia Shnia, Vahari Biasa Asura, Vain She Mitzvah. She mitzvahs ase el bia rishona bilvad. So we'll say halacha lemaisa. Why did the rabbis not allow yibum to occur? Because the ase docha lo sase only works for what? Only works for the first bia, but the subsequent bios will be aser. Therefore, Chazal said you should do chalitza in such a case and not yibum. Therefore, lefichach im avar uba'al yivim ta asrula mishum lav or mishum ase ein sarach lomar shnia harizekana kinyan gamer umotzia beget. Therefore, Abba say, Allah, if a man did do Yibum with a woman who is prohibited to him by a lav, or even an Isra Darabanan, the Yibum works, he has to divorce her with a get, he v'chol tzarasem utaros lazar shehari niftaru. And after the get, of course, she, as well as any of her co-wives, are permitted to any man. All right, Abba say, Shukoyach. Yes.